Alright, if you're in Psalm 119, today we're going to begin in verse 9 and look at all the way through verse 12. And this is a stanza that is titled Beth. Again, you might remember that Psalm 119 is what's called an acrostic poem. It's based off the Hebrew alphabet. There's 22 letters in a Hebrew alphabet. And if we were to have Psalm 119 in actual Hebrew, you'd see that each verse and the beginning word of the verse starts with that particular letter. The first 8 verses was under Aleph, which means ox. I didn't mention really that much about that. It's in your outline or bulletin that we had about it. But I do want to talk about this one as far as starting in verse 9 through 16 that will be in the next couple weeks here, this week and next week, is the Hebrew letter or word Beth. And it might seem familiar. I mean, there's people who are named Beth. You might remember the obviously Bethlehem is where Jesus Christ was born. There's also Bethsaida in the Bible, as well as obviously Bethel. Bethel meaning the house of God, Bethlehem meaning the house of bread, and Bethsaida, I believe, meaning the house of mercy. So Beth means house. And that's why I entitled this message for this week in dealing with cleaning the house and really dealing with the house of your heart. Again, as you know, our vision this year is dealing with being having a fit faith in all aspects, in our spirit, in our soul, or in our body as well, which is dealing with being mentally, emotionally, and physically fit to the best of our ability. And we're going to be using Psalm 119 to do that. Well, today we're going to deal with that house of our hearts and making sure it's clean. And just like with anything, we live in a house, or apartment, whatever we call our home, we want to try to keep it clean, and that's something that is a constant battle. It's not like you clean your house once and that's it. You don't have to ever about worrying about doing it again. We wish it was that way. That would be great, but that's not obviously reality. As we live there, things get dirty, things are going to need to be cleaned. And well, the same thing with our hearts. As we walk in this world, all right, trying to do the right thing, living according to the truth of the Word of God, we're still going to get dirt of this world on us. There's still going to be things that's going to affect our spirit. It's going to affect our heart. It's going to affect our walk. And so we need to make sure that we're keeping the heart or keeping the house clean, spiritually speaking. Now, we had in our scripture reading, again, verses 9 through 12. And today we're going to look at verses 9 and 10 and dealing with restoration. Just because it asks the question, the first part of this verse is, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? All right, so that means obviously there's some dirt in the path, there's some things that have happened that needs to be some restoration. And so we're going to answer that question here in a little bit. And so verses 9 and 10, we're going to look at restoration. But verses, which it should be in your outline, 11 and 12, I forgot to change it from last week, it says 7 and 8 in your outline, but it should be 11 and 12. We're going to look at preservation. How do we preserve keeping the house clean? How do we keep our hearts clean? How do we continue to have that process? Because it is something that we're always going to have to do each and every day of the week if we're going to continue to walk according to His way, just like we saw in the last couple of weeks, being blessed in our walk by keeping His way, keeping His statutes. Then there's going to need to be this cleansing process that we do on a daily basis. So let's have a word of prayer, and we'll get started on what we need to see. As always, there's a lot to see in Psalm 119. That's why I'm going to be doing 4 verses a week, and there's so much to see. So let's pray and ask the Lord to open our eyes so we can behold the things out of His Word today. Let's pray. Father in heaven, again, I thank You and praise You for the day. I thank You for this place that You've given us, that we can freely, openly be able to come and spend time with You in the Word, time with each other, true fellowship around our relationship with Christ and His Word. Now, Lord, I pray that You would open up our hearts, that You open up our minds, that we would be ready to receive the truth of Your Word. There's a lot in this stanza, and there's a lot in these first 4 verses that we're going to cover this week, going beyond just thinking about how do we keep ourselves clean and walking with You, but also looking at direction, also looking at are we teachable. There's a number of things that we're going to cover today, and Lord, and I pray that You would help us to be open to Your Word, that we have a honest look at ourselves, a self-examination to see where are we spiritually. Where are we emotionally in our heart and our soul? What are our actions? How are we walking? So, Lord, I pray that You give us some understanding of Your Word today and that we would be ready and willing to apply it to our lives. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's look at this. Let's start breaking this down. Let's go back to verse 9 that says this, wherewithal shall a young man cleanses way. So this is a question that is asked, alright? So if the way needs to be cleansed, that means there's something wrong with it. There's some dirt in it. There's something that needs to be fixed. There's something that needs to be restored. And it's like, where is all? I mean, like, how is it? What is needed or necessary to have a young man cleanse his way? And I think it's interesting that it even uses a young man. Now, I used to be a young man, young men can really find themselves getting and doing stupid things. I've shared some of those stupid things in my life with you guys before. I'm not going to go through it again. But suffice it to say, it is something that is a typical thing that especially young men do. They do stupid things. And so it's like, how are we going to restore that? How are we going to be clean with that? And I actually want you to go, before we continue to answer this question here, I actually want you to go to 2 Timothy in chapter 2. 2 Timothy in chapter 2, and to see what Paul talks to Timothy about. He mentions this in his life, Timothy being a young man, a pastor of the church of Ephesus, and really a place that there's a lot of spiritual warfare that's going on, no different than what we see today and experiencing in our country in our time as well. There's a lot of spiritual darkness that's going on, and it can be easy for some of those things to get clinging on to our lives. And we've got to keep ourselves clean. And notice what the admonition that Paul has to Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, down in verse 22, he says this, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace, with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." And so you see that Paul is encouraging Timothy, hey, you need to flee these youthful lusts, but you need to follow. And that's something that God always does. He doesn't ask you to stop doing something without replacing it with what you're supposed to do. So flee the youthful lusts, but follow after righteousness and peace and charity and the things that are laid out there. And it says, with them, fellowship with those who are also doing the same thing, and strength in numbers, so to speak. And so you see that even in with Paul talking to Timothy, because there is, again, youth seem to get in some things that are just not wise. But so what do we do when that happens? We go back to Psalm 119 and verse 9, and it says, "Wherewithal should a young man cleanse his way?" That is the question. How are you going to get clean? Now again, before we think, well, this is just something that deals with young men, I'm a woman, so I don't have to worry about this verse. Or, I'm an old man, I don't have to worry about this verse. No, obviously, all the Word of God is something that we can learn from. And so, we put ourselves in here, we make it personal. So, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? What's the answer? It says it right here at the end of this verse. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. If you want to know the wherewithal to be able to clean yourself, to restore yourself, then you need to take heed to the Word of God. It's not just listen to the Word of God, understand the Word of God, have knowledge of the Word of God. You need to actually take heed to the Word of God. I mean, you need to make sure that this is something that you actually obey and do, and not just go in one ear and out the other. I've given this example before, and I want to use this because it's going to come back in this message. But a few years ago, when my son and I, Andrew, when we went on a father and son vacation to New Mexico, it was Roswell, New Mexico, we wanted to see if we can find some aliens. We saw all kinds of aliens there in Roswell, all kinds. Now, I mean, they were mailboxes and statues and things like that, and in a museum. But at any rate, but we took a trip out to White Sands, New Mexico. And so when you go into it, it's a national park, and when you go into it, it says there's a sign you really need to take heed to. Because that sign says there is no water beyond this point. There's none. So if you're going into White Sands and you have no water with you, you will not find any water there. And so they have a sign saying make sure you have water. All right, and then they have a path that you can walk. It's not really a path because it's a bunch of sand, but they have kind of a thing laid out and markers on the ground that, they had a 1 mile trail, so to speak, and a 2 mile one. And before you start on that trail, there's another sign that says, this is how much water you need for this hike per adult. And if you don't have that water, you may die. That is the sign that is there. And it's like, you need to make sure you take heed to that, because it's no joke. You're walking in a desert.
And if you don't have the necessary water to drink, you may die. So you need to take heed to those signs. And there's plenty of signs that are out there that we see in our life that you would do well to take heed when you're driving down the road. And it's a red light or a stop sign, you would do well to take heed to that sign. Because if you don't, you might be in an accident. And it might cost your life or somebody else's life. Well, here we have it, a sign in a sense. We have the Word of God that tells us that we need to make sure we take heed. If you want to restore yourself, you want to make sure that you're walking a life that is pleasing to God, then we need to take heed thereto according to the Word. I want to show you something. I want to talk about cleansing your way. Again, the Word of God is pictured that of water. And I want you to actually turn to the Gospel of John real quick. I want you to notice what Jesus says. In John chapter 15, we're going to look down in verse 3. John chapter 15 and verse 3. This is the great chapter that Jesus talks about how you can bear fruit, that you got to abide in Him in a vine. Of course, this is doctrine to the nation of Israel, and this is right before the Lord's going to be led away to be crucified, and He's given final teaching and instructions to His disciples. But I just want you to simply notice what it says in verse 3. John chapter 15 and verse 3. It says this: "Now ye are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you." Jesus is telling His disciples, hey, you are clean. And how you're clean is through the word I have spoken unto you. Now, I stress that word through because I find it very interesting when I think about this in the subject matter of wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way by taking heed thereto according to thy word. Jesus says, now you are clean through the word I have spoken unto you. It's not even, just listening to the Word or just hearing the Word of God or anything like that. No, you got to go through the Word. And I say that, and it reminds me of every time, it is every time, because I do not wash my car really at home, get the hose out and everything like that. No, I generally don't. My wife does sometimes, but no, you guys know me. I am going to a car wash, all right? I'm going to put my credit card in, pick the wash. I get the $10 wash. I go to the one that's by Home Depot in town, and I go through the wash, all right? It does everything for me, puts on the soap and the thing and all that, and it dries and all that other stuff. I don't have to get out of my car. I can listen to my music, while everything is being done. But I got to go through the wash. If my car doesn't go through, it's not going to get clean. It has to go through it. And that's the same thing with us. God wants us to go through the Word. And that's when we spend time in the Word. That's how we're going to be clean. That's how we're going to be restored. And it kind of reminds me of a very familiar verse around here in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. It says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be what? Perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. That word thoroughly is from the inside out. That's what God is concerned with. A lot of times as humans, we're just focused on the outside. We're just focused on the body. We're just focused on what people physically see. And when God, He wants us to be thoroughly furnished. He wants us to be restored through, inside out. It's the inside that's important. It's our spirit. It's our soul that is priority first, and then the outside. We saw this even when we studied the book of Exodus a couple of years ago. And looking at the tabernacle. The tabernacle wasn't really anything to look at on the outside. It was a little like a tent. I got some coverings and a beaver and stuff like that as far as pelts and things like that and all that other stuff. I mean, it really wasn't probably anything really to look at on the outside, but inside. And you got the Ark of the Covenant. You got the altar of incense all made of gold. The table of showbread, the candlestick, all those. I mean, you can imagine how beautiful that must have looked and been. It's the inside out. It's truly. All right? And so we're not only clean through the word that Jesus Christ has spoken to us. Again, it's like you see that in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 and 17. The word of God is there for what? Profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction. All the things that we need to be righteous, to be perfect, and to be furnished
to all good works, throughly furnished. I want to give you one more reference before we go back to Psalm 119, and that is in the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5, it's in the context of talking about biblical marriage. The wife being compared to the church, and of course the husband being compared to Christ, and that's where I want to pick it up, actually in verse 25. Ephesians chapter 5, and verse 25. This is the biblical husband's responsibility in dealing with his wife. It says this, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish." So again, you go back to the verse 26 and says that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water, how? By the word of God. Again, another reference in comparing the word of God to water. And that's how we're going to be cleansed. So as we go back to Psalm 119, again in verse 9, the question is answered very simply. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. That is why it's important. If the house of our heart is going to be cleansed, this is something that needs to take place on a daily basis. All right? To get yourself cleaned up. All right? It's important. You're not going to live and walk a Christian life in this world without getting dirtied or spotted by the world. I mentioned Exodus just a second ago. It's just like we see with the priests when they were dealing with the sacrifices and dealing with the tabernacle. They had the altar of sacrifice, and then they had this laver of water that comes next before they went into the tabernacle. And a priest had to do it before when they left the altar, before they went into the tabernacle, they had to stop at the laver and wash their hands and feet. Why? You got the dirt of the tabernacle floor getting on you. And God says, before you go into the tabernacle, you need to stop at the laver, wash your hands, and wash your feet. It's a real beautiful picture of your feet, your walk with the Lord, your hands serving God, keeping them clean. Keeping them clean, then you're able to go into the tabernacle, do the responsibilities there. But when you leave the tabernacle, before you go back to the altar, guess what you need to do? Stop at the laver. Wash your hands. Wash your feet. Alright? And if the priest didn't do that, guess what happened? They died. God was very serious about that. And it's a picture of us today as we walk in this world, the dirt of this world it happens. And we need to make sure that we cleanse our ways by the Word of God, through the Word of God. That's why it's important to have that daily walk in the world, or in the Word, to keep our heart clean. Now let's continue on. Again, from verse 9, it says, "Wherewithal should a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. O let me not wander from thy commandments." Now, we've already seen this prayer request, in a sense, again, makes a person blessed. Just go back to verse 2 real quick, Psalm 119 and verse 2. Again, "With my whole heart have I sought thee." In verse 2, it says this, "Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with the whole heart." This phrase, whole heart, is something that we're going to see 6 different times coming through Psalm 119. All right, and we've seen it twice already. And again, it says, going back to where we're at in verse 10, "With my whole heart." This is something that he is determined that he is doing. "With my whole heart have I sought thee." My whole heart. Not half-hearted. Not the majority of my heart. Or when I feel like it. No. With my whole heart. He's giving it his all. "Have I sought thee?" And that's exactly what God wants. I think sometimes we think, especially in our dispensation of grace, we don't work for our salvation. You can't work for your salvation. There's not enough good works that you can do to ever earn your way to heaven. Jesus Christ has done the work for us on the cross. He suffered for our sins, death, and his burial, and his resurrection. It's a gift. All we can do is either accept it or reject it. But I think a lot of times we forget about, you know what? There is a work involved after our salvation. And we talk about in good works that we should walk in. You know that being around here, Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 10, that we've been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. But what about putting the work and the effort in growing your relationship with the Lord? Do we actually seek Him with our whole heart? Every day. Not just today on a Sunday or maybe on a Wednesday or something like that, or you know, maybe set aside some other part of the week, whatever. No. Every day, do we actually seek Him with our whole heart? Let's actually think about this. I mean, in a day, we all have things that we need to do. We have things around the house. I mean, there's things that you have to do at work. There's things that you have to do in a family. Maybe there's, you know, again, different chores that happen. Maybe there's the things that take place that it's like, you know, you didn't have on the schedule that you need to do. Like, we've got to go probably get a new car battery for Trish's car. Didn't expect that to happen, but here we are. You know, that's something you have to do. I mean, there's things that come up that need to be done. But still, no matter what happens in a day that you have maybe scheduled out or things that just happen to come up, are you still seeking the Lord with the whole heart? It's not one of those things that as long as you have nothing going on, then okay, seek the Lord with the whole heart. It doesn't say that in the Word of God. All right? No matter what the schedule is, no matter what comes up, are you still seeking the Lord with the whole heart? Are you still seeking the Lord in the midst of having to go car battery shopping? Are you still seeking the Lord in the midst of having to do the chores around the house or the yard work or whatever you got going on at work? Are you still seeking the Lord with a whole heart during those things? Or do we just let that kind of slide and the things of the world just kind of take over? You see, it is so important that we seek the Lord with a whole heart. We've looked at the reference. I'm not going to have you go there now. I'll just quote it. But in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 23, what does it say there? Colossians 3 and verse 23. It says, whatsoever you do, do it heartily as unto the Lord and not unto men. So whatever you're doing it for the Lord. All right? Whether it's your job, whether it's your chores, whether it's whatever it is, then you're doing it wholeheartedly for the Lord to please Him. That's the same thing as seeking Him with the whole heart. Now notice verse 10. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Notice his prayer request. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. We saw that last week in verse 5. He says, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes! Exclamation point. David is serious about these prayer requests. He's not just arbitrarily throwing something up because it's the religious thing to do. In his case, the Hebrew thing to do. He means it. He doesn't want, he wants his ways to be kept to keep the statutes of the Lord. And here in verse 10 it says, oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. I tell you this, if we're not seeking the Lord with a whole heart, you can better believe that we're going to wander off from the commandments. Guaranteed. And we're not seeking Him with everything that we have, that we're every day focused on seeking the Lord and seeking His Word, we will wander off. Because here's the thing. You talk about the enemies that we have. People want to talk about Satan. People want to talk about the world. Yeah, I get that. But enemy number one is you. It is me. It is our flesh. Our flesh does not want to do what's right. Paul even talked about that in Romans chapter 7 and down in verse 18. So that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. Your flesh never wants to serve God. Get that in your heart and in your mind. Your flesh is enemy number one. I'm just too tired to get into Word. I'm too tired to pray. I got this, that, and the other. Oh, I just want to... Your flesh is enemy number one. So if you're not seeking the Lord with your whole heart, your soul being again, fit in your soul, your flesh, your actions will definitely wander off. David's prayer is like, man, I don't want to wander off from your commandments. If you have Facebook, the message keys, I put a picture of the time that Andrew and I were in White Sands, New Mexico. you know, that song, I walked in a desert with a horse of no name. Well, we didn't have a horse, but we walked in a desert for a little bit. Just to say we did. And but it's easy to, the reason why I had that picture there is because imagine the nation of Israel, because they didn't seek the Lord with their whole heart. They didn't trust Him. What happened with the nation of Israel? They wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. Until the generation that came out of Egypt died, because that's what they prayed. I want you to go back to Numbers real quick. We're only going to see the end result of what we're talking about here. I want you to go to Numbers chapter 32. And interesting enough, it's going to be in verse 13, the number of rebellion in the Bible. God only meant the nation of Israel to be in the wilderness for 2 years. To learn about Him, learn about His commandments, you know, have the tabernacle, how to worship Him, and be ready to go into the promised land. God's original plan for the nation of Israel was not for them to be wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years, dying, until a new generation came up that actually went into the promised land. That was not His plan. They're only supposed to be in the wilderness for 2 years. They were there for 2 years, time to go into the promised land. But, you know, the 10 of the 12 spies says, oh no, we can't do that because they got those giants over there and we're like grasshoppers and so we can't do that. And it's like, oh, well, how come we just can't go back to Egypt? How come we can't die here? The Lord said, okay, fine, I had enough. I will answer your prayer. The 10 spies searched out the land for 40 days. You will be in this wilderness wandering around aimlessly for 40 years. Until you die out just like you asked for, and your kids will go into the promised land. In Numbers 32 and verse 13. Let me get there. I'm in Numbers 13. Hold on. Numbers 32, down in verse 13. The Lord says this. And the Lord's anger was kindled against Israel, and He made them wander in the wilderness 40 years. Until all the generation that had done evil in the sight of the Lord was consumed. That's why Israel was wandering around in the wilderness for 40 years. It's not because God wasn't able to give them direction to go where they needed to go. It's not like there wasn't a vision of what they needed to do. It's not like they didn't have good leadership to be able to direct them on what they needed to be. The reason why Israel wandered in the wilderness is because they didn't trust God. They didn't follow Him. They didn't seek Him with a whole heart. And that's what they desired. And so God says, okay. What a testimony. What a life. Aimlessly. Wandering about. Not accomplishing the thing that God had for them. Because they didn't seek with the whole heart. I want you to go back to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Obviously, we covered this fairly recently at the end of last year. But again, it's just kind of the equivalent, I would say, of Israel being in the wilderness for 40 years, wandering about because they didn't want to obey God's word. They didn't want to seek Him with the whole heart. This is what we see with people who are focused on things that are the babblings and oppositions of science and so forth, instead of being, again, seeking the Lord and seeking His word. It says this in 1 Timothy chapter 6, down in verses 20 and 21, the last two verses of this book. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 20. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Doesn't it sound like the same thing that we just kind of been reading in Psalm 119? Keeping the testimonies, oh, let me keep thy statutes. Paul's saying, O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust, avoiding profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with thee. Amen. Unfortunately, there's too many that today fall in that category. They've erred from the faith. They're wandering around in the wilderness of this world. Like I said, when Andrew and I went to White Sands, New Mexico, and hiked their trail, so to speak. I mean, again, it's nothing but sand dunes and mountains in the distance. Clear blue sky and sun. I mean, white sand. If you've never seen it, it's like if you didn't know where you were in New Mexico, you would think that it was a huge snowstorm. It is white sand. And it's like, their little trails. Like I said, they had some markers down, but it's not like it was trees and a path or anything like that. You're just walking up and down sand dunes. And I thank God for my smart son, because when we left our car, he put a pin on his phone of where our car was, so in case something went wrong, we know how to get back to where the car is. Because it's not like it was just flat Kansas, western Kansas, and you could see the car for 15 miles. No! I thank God we had a mark to get back, because we didn't hike the whole 2 miles. We did like a mile and a half, because we had had enough. Right? And the last thing I'm thinking, if one of us drops in this desert, then the other one's got to try to carry it. I'm like, no. All right? But if it wasn't for those marks, it'd be easy to get lost out there. It would be easy to get lost. And unfortunately, there's too many Christians that are just like that. They're in the wilderness, wandering about, and the reason why is because they haven't sought the Lord with their whole heart. And they allowed their flesh to wander out of the way. Psalm 119, let's go back there. So important. As we talk about restoration, realize, being in this world as a Christian, you're going to get dirty. That's just a fact. Not that you're trying to. I'm not saying you're going willfully out there to try to sin or anything like that. It's just there are things that you maybe come across. Maybe it's at work. Somebody says something, or you see something, or whatever the case is, and it's like, man, that is so. I got to cleanse my mind of this. Wherewithal should a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Point 2, verse 11. Preservation. How do I keep myself on the right path? It says this in verse 11. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. I notice that. Yeah, we're talking about the internalizing our memorization of the Word of God. Okay, it's the Word of God that's going to restore me, keep me clean, but how do I preserve that? How do I help keep myself from sinning? Well, it says this, thy word have I hid in my heart, so that I might not sin against thee. Interesting enough, it doesn't say, thy word have I hid in my heart, so I won't sin against thee. So if you hide God's word in your heart, then it's a guarantee that you're not going to sin against God. So it says might. You know why it says might? Because we still have a choice. Thoughts, attitude, action. Spirit, soul, body. I commit the Word of God in my heart, which we need to do. We need to internalize the Word of God. But the reason why it says might is because we still choose whether we're going to follow the truth of the Word of God or not. It ties right back into the previous verse that we had. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Again, if we're not seeking the Lord with the whole heart and going to follow what the Word of God says, then the chances are we're going to be in the flesh and we're going to sin. So verse 11, thy word have I hid in my heart. Let's start there, alright? We've got to get the word internalized. And it reminds me of an incredible guy. I want you to go back to Ezra chapter 7. Ezra chapter 7. And I want to look down, actually in verse 9 first, and then into verse 10. So Ezra chapter 7, in your Old Testament, verses 9 and 10. Ezra was somebody who was a scribe and is also a priest. Remember, I preached about him from the book of Numbers chapter 8 when we had our combined service with KCBC back in October of last year. And so in Ezra chapter 7, in verse 9, it says this. The context dealing with the captivity, Ezra bringing a contingent back to establish the worship and the service of the temple that's been rebuilt by this time. And he says this in verse 9. It says, for upon the first day of the first month, which would be March, began he to go up from Babylon, and on the first day of the fifth month came he to Jerusalem. It was a 4 month trip. It says, according to the good hand of his God upon him. Now notice verse 9 ends that he was able to accomplish the purpose that God intended for him because God's good hand was upon him. Why was God's hand upon Ezra? Verse 10. For Ezra had prepared his heart to seek
the law of the Lord, and to do it, and to teach in Israel statutes and judgments. I love this verse. I mean, it is everything that as believers in Christ that we need to do today. That we need to prepare our hearts to seek the law of the Lord. Alright? Just like we're seeing in Psalm 119. That I want to seek Him with my whole heart. So I don't wander away from His commandments. Ezra prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord. And the next thing it says there is to do it. It wasn't a matter of just knowing the Word, even understanding the Word. It was the wisdom of actually putting it into practice, doing it. Because if we're not seeking the Word of God, if we're not, as we come from in Psalm 119, I worry about hitting my heart. If we're not having a relationship with the Word of God and really wholeheartedly seeking it and trying to internalize it, trying to memorize it, then there's no way, and we're going to have a problem with trying to actually doing it. Thy words have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. I want you to go to Psalms, but this time Psalm 37 in verse 30 and 31. See what it says there. Psalm 37, verses 30 and 31. Again, this will be another Psalm of David. This is why, again, the only person in the Bible that has this testimony from God, when God tells Samuel to seek somebody else to replace Saul as king, he is seeking somebody who is a man after his own heart. God's heart is all about His Word. That's why the biggest chapter in the Bible that we're studying this year, Psalm 119, talks over and over and over again about God's Word and the importance of it. In Psalm 37, verses 30 and 31, it says this, "The mouth of the righteous speaketh wisdom, and his tongue talketh of judgment. The law of his God is in his heart. None of his steps shall fly." You see the connection between heart or soul and body? Why is his steps, his body, his actions not sliding? Because the law of his God is in his heart. Don't miss the personal aspect of this. My Lord and Savior, I want His Word in my heart. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against Thee. We talk about, again, I won't have you turn there, but in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, we talked about this even last week, where it talks about, "Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord." If my soul is the source of my will, where I decide whether I'm going to do what's right or what's wrong, then I have got to internalize and have the Word of God in my heart. So when I'm confronted with my flesh wanting to do what's wrong and wander astray, as opposed to the Spirit of God saying, "Hey, Charles, you need to do what's right," I need to make sure I have the Word of God there. It would be a good thing to have Galatians 5:16 memorized, where it talks about, "So then faith..." I'm going to give you a different reference, but this happens. It happens. It's like I'm talking about having the Word of God memorized, and all of a sudden, I'm forgetting exactly what I want you to say that we need to have memorized. That's great. All right, so Galatians chapter 5 and verse 16. "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." There's no in-between. Either you're walking in the Spirit, or you're walking in the flesh. And how do you walk in the Spirit? By allowing the Spirit of God to teach you the Word of God, and you follow along that. We'll talk a little bit more about that here in a little bit. Internalizing the Word of God. If I ask you the question, as we go back to Psalm 119, if I ask you, what do you think one of my all-time favorite movies, what is it? What would your guess be? Say it loud. The Book of Eli. Because Denzel Washington. Not just because of Denzel Washington, and people say I look like Denzel Washington. I don't know about that. But anyhow, I've heard that a lot. But it's my favorite movie. Is it because of his fighting skills?
got a cool sword in there, which I have a replica of, by the way. Pretty proud of that. Somebody gave that to me, gifted that to me. And obviously I do karate. Well, yeah, there's, I like that because of that. But the reason why I like the book of Eli is the word of God. It was the last word of God that is, as far as the movie setting, that's on earth. And God told him to travel from east to west, which is the direction of God and the word of God. I don't know if they knew that when they wrote this movie. I have no idea. But that was the thing. He was going west. He was going west to deliver the book. And he had bad guys trying to take the book from him to use it for evil purposes. Just like Satan corrupts the word of God. I'm going to start preaching the book of Eli right now. I mean, it's an incredible movie. And by the time it's all done, guess what? The bad guy actually gets the book, but he can't read it. Because it happens to be in Braille. Because Eli was blind. And even though he could not see physically, he saw spiritually. He even uses the verse, we walk by faith and not by sight. Alright? And by the time you get down to the end of that movie, and he gets to the place where he's supposed to take it, where it's this huge library place that they have off in San Francisco and so forth, they ask him, what do you have? Oh, I got a book. I got a King James Bible. It's in a good shape. Well, it's a little tattered, little gone through something. He's talking about himself. He memorizes the whole Word of God. If you haven't seen the movie, I'm sorry I ruined it for you. But see it anyway. It's a good movie. It's an awesome movie. Because it really should be what we try to do. I'm not saying that we should, you know, try to memorize it. If you want to try to memorize the whole Word of God, go for it. But what I am saying is that we need to, the Word of God needs to be more than just something that we, it's just a theory or just a kind of look at. No, we need to internalize it. We need to hide it in our heart. There are going to be things and times that come up in your life that maybe you don't have the Word of God right at your fingertips, and you need the Word so that you make the right decisions in God's eyes. Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. There are churches, there are religions, there are people that call themselves Christians that actually look at this book as an inconvenience. When I was in Canada, I was at a quote-unquote Bible study on a college campus where the person that was leading that literally said, it's like, she had so much problems with the Word of God, she literally said, it's like, I wish we didn't have this book. It would be easier, my job would be easier to minister to people if I didn't have this book that got in the way because, you know, she didn't believe it. There's a whole bunch of problems that she had. This book should be everything. If the world totally goes to the pot, and there's only one thing that you could have to take, what would you pick? Would it be a Bible? Or would it be something else? It's in the book of Proverbs that talks about how the Word of God and the wisdom of God is more than gold and silver and precious stones, more than anything that you can desire. The Word of God is worth more than that. If you don't have one thing to your name, would you pick the Bible? What would you pick? Thy Word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. The reason why the might is there because it depends on what our soul is going to decide to do. Are we going to listen to the Word of God and obey it? Are we going to listen to our flesh or listen to the world and wander off from the commandments? Verse 12, last verse that we're going to cover today. It says, blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. I find it interesting that the first two verses of Psalm 119 talks about a person being blessed. They're blessed are the undefiled in the way who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies, that seek him with a whole heart. But here in verse 12 it says, blessed art thou, O Lord, you're blessed. They're praising God. And this next prayer request that he has there is, teach me thy statutes. Teach me, Lord. Why does he want God to teach him?
Well, because of the things that we've already seen. He doesn't want to wander away off the commandments. He wants to seek the Lord with his whole heart. He wants his way to be clean. So it's like, Lord, hey, teach me by statute. How often when you go to the Word of God, do you actually ask God to teach you? We'll see that later as we get into the next stanza in a couple of weeks from now. Before you open up the Word of God, spend time in the Word of God, do you ask the Lord to teach you? He is ready to teach you His Word. Last week, I listed off a number of men that God used in my life to help teach me some things, some very important things. Taught me how to get saved. Taught me what it is to have a wife that understands what it is and ministry and be prepared for that and be a strong woman of God for that. To teach me discipleship and so forth. I listed a few people that have taught me truth. But ultimately, really, it's like I need the Lord to teach me. He didn't use different people in my life or whatever, but it's like, Lord, teach me. I should go to the Gospel of John again. But this time, chapter 16. I want you to notice what Jesus says to his disciples about the Spirit of truth. John chapter 16, and we're going to look down at verses 13 and 14. John chapter 16, starting at verse 13, says this: Howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. He shall glorify Me, for He shall receive of Mine, and shall show it unto you. The Spirit of God is going to teach us. And when we talk about the Trinity, they all work in our lives. We saw that on Wednesday. Trish made that understanding, and just talking about our spirit, our soul, and body, how they're interconnected and how they all work together, just like the Trinity. It's like, that's exactly right. Exactly right. Well, we see the Spirit of God teaches us the Word of God, but the Spirit doesn't come up with His own stuff. The Spirit of God is not teaching His own Word. Keep that in mind, because there's some denominations that say, oh, the Spirit told me this. If the Spirit told you something, it ain't in the written Word of God, then that ain't the Holy Spirit of God. That's something else. Because the Holy Spirit is not going to teach you anything, not one iota, that's outside of the Word of God. We just read the verses that lay that out. Jesus says He's going to take a mind and give it to you. All right? It's not going to be something that the Spirit of God, God the Father, God the Son, okay, yeah, that's pretty cool if you came up with, but I got this other thing over here, and I need to, no. They're in unison, and it's going to be the Word of God. If it ain't in the written Word of God, it ain't God's Word. Simple as that. All right? It's a different spirit. It's flesh, it's something else, but it's not the Spirit of God. Let's look at our own doctrine. I want you to go real quickly over to the 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And we're going to pick it up in verse 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in verse 12. Says this: Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, which things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. One of our, how we study the Word of God, by comparing spiritual with spiritual, comparing the Word of God with the Word of God. That's why I preach and teach the way that I do, that we show you, different references, that we understand in context so that we know exactly what the Word of God is saying. But he goes on in verse 14 and it says this: But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. And the reason why I want to include verse 14 is because even as believers in Christ, if we come to the Word of God just thinking that we can figure this out on our own, no, you can't. The natural man receiveth not the things of God. That's why we need to be praying, Lord, teach us Your Word. Teach us Your statutes. Like you see David in Psalm 119.
Teach us, Lord. I can't understand this on my own. Teach me. Now, the question that I have as we finish up here, are you teachable? Are you teachable? No matter how long you've been saved, no matter how much you've studied and learned in the Word of God, are you teachable? We are never going to come to the place where we know everything there is about the Word of God. And there are things that maybe we have learned that's not actually accurate in the Word of God. Are you ready to forget what you learned, something that is not biblical, and submit to that which is in context, laid out clearly in the Word of God, multiple references? Are you teachable? See, here's the thing. I've dealt with people that have said, well, you know, I've been saved longer than you, so there's no way you can teach me anything. And the reality of that statement is actually, you know what? You're right. It gives the attitude that you can't learn from somebody because you think you are older in the Lord or you got some great wisdom or whatever, then you're right. There are things that before I came to the church that I ended up getting ordained and sent out as missionary. It's like when we first went there, there's a number of things that I was taught that I realized as it was shown clear in the Word of God. It's like, well, what I believe is wrong. I got a choice. I'm still going to stubbornly follow what's wrong because of a pride issue? Or am I going to be teachable? Okay, Lord. Yeah, I see that. Thank you, Lord, for correcting me. Psalm 119, the last thing that we're covering, says, Blessed art thou, O Lord, teach me thy statutes. That should be every one of our prayer requests. Every time we come to the Word of God, Lord, you teach me, you teach me. That we have a teachable spirit, teachable attitude. Why? So that we can learn and understand His Word, so that we're what? That we can be preserved, cleansed, on the right path, doing what's right, not wandering off in the wilderness somewhere. Teachable. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I thank you and praise you for the day. I thank you and praise you again for your word. We have had three messages in Psalm 119, and there is so much that we can continue to chew on, to meditate on. And Lord, I pray that we do that. Lord, I don't know where everybody's at. I know that there's enough covered in four verses of Psalm 119 each week that it'll touch a lot of people in a lot of areas of their lives, because I know what it's doing in my life. And Lord, I pray that you continue to teach me, not just for the sake of being able to get up and preach on a Sunday or a Wednesday, because I need to know what it is to have a walk with you that is continuing to be cleansed, to be able to be used of you, to be able to give you glory. So, Lord, I pray that all of us have that attitude that we come to you, that we desire to follow you, to seek you with a whole heart. No matter what's going on throughout the day, no matter what pops up during the week, that no matter what it is, even through those things, that we're seeking you. Just reminded of dealing with our own bathroom issues here with the cold weather. Particular bathroom, and I know Pam put the sign in there that says, the day's a gift. I'm looking at, we're dealing with cold weather, dealing with this frozen pipe, and the day's a gift. And you know what? It is. It is. That's seeking you with a whole heart, even through the tough times, seeing your hand in things and what we can learn and just simply be thankful for. Let your word be real to us. Let us desire to hide it in our heart so that we can make biblical decisions. Ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.